Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward. For the next 2 weeks, we will be celebrating the most American of holidays, Thanksgiving. Americans remember the history of the Puritans in New England and enjoy a big turkey dinner on the fourth Thursday in November. We've selected two hard-boiled detectives that each find themselves mixed up with a turkey at Thanksgiving. First, we have Jack Webb, the famous detective from Dragnet in another series that was broadcast regionally and never became a national show. He played Jeff Regan, investigator, and was also known as the Lion's Eye. The show ran from 1948 to 1950. This episode is set in a rural area called Calabasas that has become a very upscale suburb of Los Angeles. I think you will enjoy the dialogue with its tongue-in-cheek humor. This is Jeff Regan, Investigator, Pilgrim's Progress, first broadcast November 20th, 1948, on CBS West.
Regan. I get 10 a day and expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, the Lion's Eye, stand by for hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of the Pilgrim's Progress.
Cosmopolitan Building, 7th Street near Olive, downtown L.A. A mess of granite thrown together by an architect who must have taken his degree on the rock pile at Leavenworth. It's up on the third floor, room 308, right next to a credit dentist who shares his office with a collection agency. On the other side, there's a school for models, and the Lion's got sore eyes trying to see through that cloudy glass. International Detective Bureau, Anthony J. Lyon, president. He's also vice president, secretary, treasurer. I work for him. Well, the office isn't much, but there's enough elbow room for a client to write a check. I went to the office Friday night about 5:20, answering the Lion's call. He was sitting behind the desk, sucking on a quarter cigar. He looked real pleased, like a fat lady locked in a cream puff factory.
Man I know had a baby. Plumber named Broman or Groman or something like that.
Mazel tov.
Cancel any arrangements you got for the night. I got something for you to do. Got your car?
It's in the lot.
Gas it up. You're taking a trip.
Where to?
Calabasas. A man wants to see you.
I got no friends out there.
Friend of mine named Hendricks. He counts his money with an adding machine, and his finger's always swollen.
Well, what's the problem?
I don't know. He didn't say. He just called and told me to send out a man.
How much did he give you for a retainer?
When an important man like Hendricks calls, you don't insult him by asking for money.
Oh, stop it, will you? You're the kind of guy who'd steal pennies out of parking meters.
That's enough, Regan.
If one of them turned up empty, you'd sue the city.
Here's the Hendricks address. Now get out there.
All right.
Regan.
Yeah?
Remember, do a good job and I'll give you Thanksgiving off. And I'll pay you.
With what? Cranberries? Well, I headed out Beverly and then up through Hollywood. You know, it's only November, but Santa Claus is breaking out all over the boulevard. I fought my way over Cahuenga Pass, and by the time I was dodging station wagons on Ventura, it was dark. Calabasas is a place with a couple of service stations, a hot dog stand, and a few road signs full of buckshot. The Hendricks place turned out to be about 5 miles down a road that the Indians built for hauling firewater. I guess they couldn't keep the cork in. But the house itself was strictly prohibition stuff. A big pile of slate roof and leaded windows. It looked dark and lonesome. I figured somebody had their holidays mixed.
Hiya, Pilgrim!
It was a big fat guy. He was holding a 6-foot gun in the shape of a straightened out tuba. He came closer and I could see his hat. It was a high one with a buckle on it. He was dressed in black and he had buckles all over him. I figured that I'd been eating too much Quaker oats.
What's the matter, Pilgrim? A little shooting make you nervous?
That's a big gun there.
Shoots musket balls. Good for Indians.
Well, I'm no Indian.
Oh, I wasn't aiming at you.
Well, that gun wouldn't know the difference.
It's a blunderbuss. Great weapon.
Is it?
I saw you. Hey, you pop it up on a crutch.
You keep fooling with that thing, and we'll both need one.
Now, let's be quiet. Load the barrels. Lots of powder.
Look, why don't you give that thing back to the museum?
He does it. More powder. Gotta use lots of this black powder.
Buster, you need black coffee. Come on, give me that thing before it blows up in your... you broke a window.
Oh, it's all right. It was only the attic.
You live here?
Of course not, Pilgrim. I'm Miles Standish.
Well, where's the rest of the party?
All inside, talking to John Olden.
Yeah, sure.
You just think I'm kidding, don't you? Pilgrim, you just haven't got the Mayflower spirit.
No, you drank it all.
It's just cider. Nothing better on a cold New England night.
Thanksgiving's not for a week. Come on, get off it.
Hark.
What's the matter? Put that down.
I'm not going to shoot him. He's a friendly type.
Brother Regan?
Yeah?
If thou wilt follow me, please.
Oh, you too, huh?
I beg your pardon.
Okay.
Well, so long, Pilgrim.
Yeah, keep your powder dry, Standy.
I'll see you on Plymouth Rock.
Okay, this way, Brother Regan.
Now, look, Sunshine, you work here.
My name is Phelps.
Why don't you lock that guy up?
I'd be outnumbered, sir. 21 Pilgrim.
Bad winter. They make you wear those corduroy knickers?
Knee breeches, sir. It was Priscilla's idea.
You need a union.
I need more shapely legs. Through here.
Well, that's quite a place you got.
Well, it looks better without the decorations, sir.
Yeah. How do you keep from stepping on these pumpkins?
It's only when they use them for bowling that it's difficult.
Come on, fill me in. What's this all about?
Thanksgiving, sir. 1621. Okay, this room here, sir. Go right in.
Okay.
Shut the door. Shut it.
Mr. Hendricks around?
He's not here. Come over, sit down.
Who are you, Priscilla?
Don't. Please don't say another word of that silly rigmarole. I'll start screaming.
Yeah, well, I could use a little yell myself.
I'm Agnes. I'm Mrs. Hendricks. Or Agnes.
It doesn't make any difference.
It does to my friends. Didn't I say sit down?
Yes, you did, and I didn't. So you don't like the party, huh?
I'm not much of a Puritan, Mr. Regan.
Well, that Great Dane says the masquerade was your idea.
Oh, Phelps is stupid. This goes on all weekend, Mr. Regan. It's called a turkey shoot.
So that's it. Who gets the bird?
The Pilgrim Fathers, my husband's friends. They ought to be shot, every one of them.
Yeah, well, I'm not from the SPCA.
Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Regan. I like you.
That's not the point.
I won't bore you.
Your husband might.
Him. He's crazy, Mr. Regan. Crazy as the things he does. Shooting, drinking, spending money.
A hard life.
I don't know how I stood it for as long as I have. My lawyer says I'm the most patient woman in the world.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the conversation, Miss Hendricks.
Why did my husband send for you?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You do know. Tell me.
I don't know.
Please. You don't realize what kind of a man my husband can be.
I never met him.
You don't know how much I need help. How lonely I am.
Well, where is he?
I'll tell you if you promise to come back to me.
No, I'll write you a letter.
He's out in the shed, the other side of the patio.
Thanks.
I wouldn't act this way if I weren't so frightened. You don't know what it is to be frightened all the time.
No, but I'm learning.
I wish you'd stick around, Mr. Regan.
Well, thanks, Mrs. Hendricks, but the pin feathers are a little sharp. Mrs. Hendricks went back to her worrying, and I wound my way through the house looking for the back entrance. My legs got tired before it finally showed on the other side of the pantry. It poured out into a flagstone patio as big as the Palladium. A walk took me to a shed. It was a two-story redwood place that must have made a loud noise on the cash register, and alongside, fenced in with chicken wire, was a whole population of turkeys. Well, I went into the shed. It was a little round-faced guy with pink skin was leaning over a barrel of cider. He wore a blue silk smoking jacket with gold initials EH on the pocket. When he caught my footsteps, his head bobbed up, and he gave me a deep look like he was trying to see the back of my eyeballs.
Yes?
I'm Regan, International Detective Bureau.
Oh, I've been expecting you. I'm Hendricks.
Yeah, I know. Why the fireworks?
Eh?
Oh. Miles Standish and his blunderbuss, eh? Well, I'm just having fun. It's a party, you know. Big party we're having here.
Yeah, well, the neighbors will complain.
Ah, neighbors. None for miles around. That's why I like it out here. Have trouble finding me?
You ought to put up signs.
Eh, signs? Glass of cider, Regan? Careful, glass.
I'm not thirsty.
Yeah, that's not what it's for. Strong kind. Oh, go on. Thanksgiving soon. Get the spirit.
No, I can hold out till Thursday.
Suit yourself. Excuse me. Yeah. There's going to be quite a party here, you know.
Your wife's got a different version.
Oh, you spoke to her?
Yeah.
You were told to come out here to see me?
I got sidetracked.
It's not good for a man in your position.
All right, Hendricks, why am I here?
What'd she say to you?
I forgot.
Regan, you're making me angry.
Now, look, mister, you didn't get me out here to make a pilgrim out of me.
No, of course not. Fine woman, Mrs. Hendricks. We've been married for years, you know, happily. Fine little woman. Still, she makes me a little nervous at times.
Mm-hmm. You like the sound of guns going off?
Ah, she shouldn't get so excited. Boys just having little fun. It's only once a year. What's wrong with that?
Come on, now, what's the job?
Didn't the lion tell you?
He said you would.
Oh, well, nothing to be so mysterious about. I've just got a package I want you to take to. Here it is. A turkey.
You got me all the way out here to play escort to that bird?
Well, I just want to be friendly. Here. Now, go on. It's a long way back to L.A. And you want to be there for Thanksgiving.
What's the difference? I got the turkey. I can celebrate any time. 60 miles to do a delivery job on a dead bird. Well, I wandered back to my car and I listened to the crickets and the gunshots try to outdo each other. And then I dumped the turkey into the back seat and I started the car down the drive. I'd just thrown it around the bend when the headlights caught a pair of buckled shoes and black knee breeches. Miles Standish was lying face down in the dirt and there was a wet shine on his side. He was breathing hard. The blunderbuss was lying beside him and I figured that he blew out the wrong end. I would have gone for the Hendricks phone and a doctor, but I got a good look at the holes in him, and I headed for a hospital instead. The blunderbuss may have been kicking up a fuss, but the holes in Miles Standish were 20th century, about the size of a 32. Well, I turned him over to an emergency hospital, and I put a call into the sheriff's office. I gave the story to Lieutenant Robinson, and then I headed back toward town. At the lion's place, the lights were still on, so I figured he didn't have company. I rapped on the door, and he flung it open before the echo could die away. He had a carving knife in one hand, and he was wearing an apron. His eyes were big, and he had an eager look like a college couple on Mulholland Drive.
Regan, you're back.
Well, now, that takes a big brain.
I've been waiting for you. You know, I had a chance to go to a classy party tonight. Russian caviar and champagne and favors to all the guests. Know why I didn't go?
You lost your crash suit, huh?
I said to myself, is it fair to go out and have a good time while my employee is working real hard for international detectives?
The answer came out yes, but the party was called off.
Well, as a matter of fact, it was. But I wouldn't have gone anyway. Where is it?
Where's what?
The package from Hendricks.
Now, you can change your plans, Big Shot. You're getting a bundle of trouble instead.
What do you mean?
Turkeys aren't the only thing they're knocking off out on that ranch.
Huh?
Somebody's handy with a 32 and he's found a target.
You've been drinking?
Check the county emergency hospital. They'll show you the holes.
I send you out on a simple little job and you come back with a crazy story about a shooting. You're out of your mind.
Now listen, you. There's a big smell out in Calabasas.
What about my turkey?
The sheriff's office are going to have a lot of questions. You got the answers?
I don't know anything. I was miles away.
Well, then find out something. Check into the guy who shot. Find out who he is, what he does, and what he was doing out at Hendricks.
Where are you going?
To scratch around in the Hendricks closet. They tell different stories about their wedded bliss.
Hey, Regan.
Yeah?
Where's my turkey?
It's too rich for your blood, fatso. Stick to chicken. Well, I left him standing there with his apron hanging out. Miles Standish might get enough wind through that extra hole to say who shot him, but more likely not. Anyway, with the bucket load he had, he would have sworn it was the last of the Mohicans. But there was an angle of that Hendricks woman, even if it didn't show. So I walked up the street to where my car was nuzzling a lamppost. The turkey and I were just going to wake up a newspaper office, only something changed my mind. A newspaper. It was wrapped around a bundle, and the bundle was under a guy's arm, and the arm was shutting the door of my car. Now, good evening, Pop.
Hi.
Going somewhere?
Sure. Find a place to sleep, that's all.
Want a cigarette?
Say, I don't mind if I do. Thought you was a bull for a minute. You mind if I take two?
No, help yourself.
My brother smokes, too. Not much in the streets these days.
Yeah, it's bad all over.
Yeah, something ought to be done.
Well, no, I'll stick around, Pop.
No, no, Sonny. You give me smokes. I don't hit you for cash. It's a rule I got.
I'll make the touch.
What's that?
What's in the newspaper?
Russia.
Inside.
A funny paper.
Yeah, sure.
Well, now take it easy, boss. The guy's got a right to his privacy.
You weren't sleeping in my car.
Oh, so that's it. Yours, huh? Small world, ain't it?
Yeah, come on, let's unwrap.
It's Thanksgiving, Mac. Ain't you heard of Thanksgiving?
I'm going to plug my ears. Give.
No, please, Mac, show me the spirit. Once in my life, both drumsticks.
Oh, huh? Stop it, you're breaking my heart.
I mean it, Mac. Let me have it. I'll break the wishbone for you, Sonny. I will. You ain't got no use for all that meat, have you? Oh, you have, huh? Well, so long, Mac.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold it.
No, let go of my arm.
That was a pretty dance, but you should have changed your shoes.
What's that?
You didn't get those buckles in the bread line.
Oh.
Now, come on, change the record. Who are you?
That's none of your business. Let go.
I said talk.
I will not.
You're from the Hendricks place, aren't you? You're from the...
Thank you, Phelps.
That's all right. Got the bird?
Sure. Let's go.
Yeah. Nighty-night, pilgrim.
You are listening to the story of the Pilgrim's Progress, tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator. Commissions are still available in the Army Nurse Corps. Graduate registered nurses between the ages of 21 and 45 may qualify for service with this fine organization. If you are interested in joining the Army Nurse Corps and believe you qualify for a commission, apply to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. And now, back to Jeff Regan, investigator, and the story of the Pilgrim's Progress.
None of it made sense. The Lion sent me out to pick up a turkey on the Hendricks Ranch in Calabasas, and the Mr. and Mrs. were having an old-fashioned turkey shoot, and all the guests carried blunderbusses and dressed like pilgrims. Only it wasn't just the turkeys who were acting as targets. One of the pilgrims ended up with some .32 caliber holes in them. And then the Hendricks lackey and a buddy shoved a gun at me and stole the Lion's bird. Well, I picked myself up and I went home. A heavy man was doing a heist job in my icebox. He was pouring himself a glass of milk to wash down a sandwich he was munching on.
Hi, Regan.
You're right ahead. Help yourself.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't know how long I was going to have to wait, and I was getting hungry.
There's a restaurant just up the block.
I like it better this way, homemade. Fish you a sandwich? Pretty good deviled ham.
Come on, let's close the box and open your mouth, buddy.
Why not? We had a date, remember? Robertson, sheriff's office.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
You don't mind me coming in like this, do you?
What if I did?
Well, I'd leave. Sanctity of the home, you know. You can throw me out even though I got a badge.
Oh, let's cut away the fat, mister. What do you want?
Answers to a couple of questions. What were you doing at the Hendricks place?
Picking up a turkey?
Well, that's a new one.
Now, look, you ask him. I'll answer him. Never mind the feature page.
How long have you known the Hendricks?
Never met him before.
Wrong answer.
What do you mean?
We found this out at the Hendricks house. A page torn out of the yellow directory with a red circle around international detective.
Now, that doesn't say a thing.
Maybe yes, maybe no. I'm still scratching around.
It'll ruin your manicure.
You know, Regan, you don't seem to realize the seriousness of this. That pilgrim you dragged in died.
Well, I figured.
We don't like unsolved murders messing up our record books.
Well, then you're wasting your time here.
I got lots of it. I don't come up for pension for 12 more years. What was that pilgrim's name?
He gave me Miles Standish.
Sounds like a fake.
Well, don't count on it. I once knew a John Smith.
Give me the real name.
I don't have it.
All right. He's not a town boy, but we'll track him down. Now, straighten out something for me, Regan. How long did you say you knew the Hendricks?
Now look, I gave this to you once. Nothing's changed.
How come we find a $5,000 check in that joker's pocket made out to cash and signed by Hendricks? Go ahead, answer. Just don't make a date. You may not be available.
Yeah?
Mr. Regan, this is Mrs. Hendricks. I must see you right away.
Who did you say?
Mrs. Hendricks, you remember?
Charlie? No, there's no Charlie here. You must have the wrong number.
Sort of annoying, isn't it, Regan, when you get a wrong number late at night?
Well, it happens.
Sure, it does. Happened to me once.
Anything else you want?
Another deviled ham sandwich?
Kitchen's closed.
Pretty rotten hospitality.
Well, you weren't asked.
Okay, I gotta move anyway. See you later, Regan. Keep the mud off your shoes.
R, 3, 4, O, 8.
Hello?
Mrs. Hendricks, this is Regan.
Well, I just called you.
Well, I couldn't talk. What do you want?
Can you come out, Mr. Regan? Right away.
You're still lonely?
Things aren't going well.
No, murder's like that.
I've got to talk to somebody. Won't you please come?
Give me a reason.
I can tell you some things now I couldn't mention before.
Like why your husband wrote a $5,000 check to the dead man?
Check? But there must be some mistake.
What do you mean?
My husband couldn't write a check that large. He doesn't have any money of his own. It's all in my name.
All right. Put a lantern in the window, lady. I'll need some light. Well, I hit it out there fast. But when I raised the racket with a brass knocker, nothing happened. I tried a window, and a couple of scratches later, I was in the hall. The place looked empty, like the Rose Bowl on January 2nd. I found Ms. Hendricks' room, where I talked to her and stepped inside. The decorations were different.
Sheriff's Office, Robinson.
This is Regan. I got something for you.
It better be good.
You're going into overtime.
What do you mean?
Bring some boys out to the Hendricks place with a wet rag. Somebody blew out Mr. Hendricks' fuse. Well, I backed out of the room and I made it for the bar trying to turn up a bottle. In the corner, something else turned up instead. Another dead body. The turkey Phelps and his buddy had stolen from me. Somebody real eager had done a carving job on it before it was even cooked. They'd torn it apart like they were looking for something. Well, it was morning before the sheriff's boys cleaned up the Hendricks mess and we got back to town. Robinson had a few more questions, but I was still short on the answers. Ballistics had one, though. Same gun did the job on both Miles Standish and Hendricks. That's all. Homicide was getting places in a hurry, like a snail hauling a piano. Well, the lion was waiting for me outside the sheriff's office, and he pulled me to the side. His eyes were lit up like a pinball machine, and you could tell he'd caught the scent of a greenback.
They treat you okay, Regan?
Good enough.
No rough stuff?
Well, nothing that shows, no.
Thinking we're in luck. I've been turning up things. We've been playing the wrong horse.
Well, that figures you're good at picking losers.
Hendricks is a piker, a social climber.
He's a dead one.
I'll send him flowers, but I'm telling you, he could only write checks for 5 G's.
With a big bounce.
Somebody else in this thing can write bigger ones.
Well, let me guess who.
Mrs. Hendricks, that's who. I tell you, Regan, it pays to keep up your connections.
How high can she go?
The sky is below sea level.
What else you got?
Standish is a phony moniker.
That's grammar school.
Real name, Jeffrey Kelly, age 42. He's a wholesale jeweler. He had a little business with Mrs. H. $250,000 worth.
That's going to run up his taxes.
He can handle it.
What did he do for her?
I drew a blank, but he deposited her certified check in the bank yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm. How does Phelps figure?
I don't know.
Well, who's the little man in the big overcoat?
I can't do everything. You gotta do some work, too.
Yeah, sure.
Now, find Mrs. Hendricks. Offer her the services of international detective at our usual nominal rate. But don't underplay it. Now, get busy.
Where are you going?
Home to bed. A man's gotta get some sleep.
Well, the time was ticking out, but the game wasn't over yet. We figured to have a fast finish, and the lion had a pretty good idea about catching some shut-eye. So I moved to the office and a stretch out on the couch. But through the glass, I could see there was a light on. Company was inside.
Crestview 2045. Phelps, no luck. Well, I looked all over. I told you, I tore the place apart. Nothing's here. I'm trying my best. Stop harping. Oh, well, it must be someplace else. Okay, right away.
Leave a nickel, Buster.
Huh? Oh, Regan.
You're looking for something?
You, Pilgrim.
What else?
Plymouth Rock.
Come on, punk, level it.
All right, coax me.
All right, Nick, because you've been crying for this. Now, flatten out. Well, it felt good to watch the big guy fall. He folded in like a steeple in an earthquake. When his head bounced on the lion's carpet, it figured he was due for a long sleep, so I went through his pockets. Ticket stubs from the prize fights, the gun, and a pocket knife I dumped into the safe. It was a pass to the Don's game on November 25th. He must have swiped that from his boss, so I filed that in the lion's desk for future reference. But this guy Phelps had taken orders from somebody besides Hendricks. I just heard him do it on the phone. So when I turned up an old envelope with 832 North Palm scratched in the back, I crossed my fingers. He'd been calling a Crestview number, and the phone book said that I had a lead. North Palm was in the Crestview exchange area. So I called for the cops to sweep up Brother Phelps, and I climbed back onto my broomstick. I drove out through Beverly Hills. I wound up in front of a big Spanish house with potted $10 bills on the driveway. There was a new Nash sticking out of the garage, and I walked around to take a look. But honest John had beat me to it.
Who's there?
Now, stick around. I want to talk to you.
Stand back. Stand back.
You like cars, don't you? Maybe you want a hot rod.
No, you don't. Get away from me.
Hey. Well, it was the little turkey fan that I'd last seen in an overcoat. Phelps' buddy. He took out of there like a cow in deer season, so I let him go. No license. Well, I took a look around the car he'd been sniffing, but nothing showed except the registration. It said Mrs. Agnes Hendricks. I went to the house and rang the doorbell, and she answered.
Oh, what's you? Mr. Regan.
All right, I'll ask myself in.
Yes, come in.
Who are you expecting, John Alden?
No, I'm glad to see you.
No, I don't like girls who break dates.
Oh, that.
Yeah, that's one thing.
I couldn't help it. I couldn't wait for you to come all the way to Calabasas.
You got impatient on account of a body in the house.
You saw him?
Yeah, after I tripped over him in your room.
I didn't do it.
Did I say you did?
You've got to believe me.
Relax. I look like a jury. You got multiple vision.
Oh, Mr. Regan, I was so frightened. I didn't know which way to turn.
We've been through all that woman driver routine. You don't like your husband. You wanted to get rid of him.
But only in Reno.
All right, now let's get back to page one. You gave 250 G's to a jeweler named Kelly. You bought a rock. A rock, Plymouth rock. It's a diamond. It's got to be.
Well,
why'd you do it? Who'd you buy it for?
Myself. My lawyer said I should get it for myself, that's all.
He likes you pretty, huh?
No. It was a community property thing. He said I could keep my husband from knowing how much money I had when he asked for a divorce settlement.
Only hubby got wind of the deal.
I guess so.
Well, you're making sense. Only why did he write a check to Kelly?
Well, it was a small one. It must have been for a paste imitation, don't you think?
It's not my business. Keep dealing.
I mean, maybe he planned on switching them and getting my real one.
Yeah, that's been done.
But he actually did it. Because all through this, there's been a diamond in the place where I always keep it.
All right, you got a strong boy, Phelps. Had him out looking for the real diamond.
What?
And the other guy, the old man, was out in the garage.
No.
Phelps tore up my office, phoned here to you.
Mr. Regan.
Now look, there's been two guys killed.
Mr. Regan.
Good evening, Pilgrim.
Where's your overcoat?
Stand still, please.
Yeah, my foot's in a crack.
Mr. Regan, this is John Alden.
Oh, can it, will you? I've seen him act one part already.
That's true. Mine is the only name that's real. This is my house, Mr. Regan.
Lawyer?
Yes, I came here to see him, Mr. Regan. I just got here before you did.
Be quiet, Agnes.
Well, I got it all now.
You won't keep it.
Phelps took his orders from you.
It's a waste of testimony.
You started this. Spotted the gem switch. Figured to cash in.
You're losing your chip.
Shut up, will you? I got aces. Hendricks outfoxed you. You never found a real diamond.
Five in a hand draws blood.
Mr. Alden, don't.
Now you keep out of this, Agnes.
She's not in it. You are.
That's all, Regan.
All right, come on. Drop it. Drop it.
Go with that.
I guess I hit him with the paste one.
Huh?
Look, the diamond. It broke.
Yeah.
It was just luck. I have the other one, too. I thought Alden was honest. I came to tell him I found it in my husband's cider.
Well, that tears it. Come on, Priscilla. That docks the Mayflower. Well, the whole thing folded in like an elephant on a pogo stick. Yeah, the lawyer did it all right, both of them. When he spotted what Hendricks was up to with that diamond switch, he moved in, but not for his client. The jeweler, Miles Standish, alias Kelly, got bumped because he was the only one who could tell the real diamond from a phony. But Hendricks got wise to the muscle act, and so he got shot. Well, the lion was real happy the way it worked out. That dame with the nerves wrote him a check. So he invited me out to Thanksgiving dinner. He offered me any part of the turkey that I wanted. I told him, but I got it anyway.
Jack Webb is featured as Jeff Regan with Herb Butterfield as Anthony J. Lyon. It's CBS at the same time next week for more hard-boiled action and mystery with Jeff Regan, investigator. Written by Larry Roman and Jackson Gillis, produced by Sterling Tracy. Featured in tonight's story were Mary Lansing, Marvin Miller, Paul Fries, and Paul Dubov. Original music for this program is by Milton Charles. Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour with your host, Justine Ward. This week, we have a couple of detective mysteries that involve a turkey at Thanksgiving. Next, we have a favorite detective, Sam Spade, in A Tangle with a Turkey. The writers had fun turning the show into a play on words. Enjoy The Adventures of Sam Spade, The Terrified Turkey Caper, first broadcast November 24th, 1950 on NBC.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective.
Sam Spade, Detective, I think, sir.
Here's I, sweetheart.
Sam! Oh, I was worried to death. This office, glass all over the floor, holes in the wall.
That was just business going on as usual during altercation, Beth.
Well, what was it all about, Sam?
They tried, Effie, just tried to pluck my feathers and cook my goose.
On Thanksgiving, too. How could they?
Oh, they were a mean lot.
Are you all right?
Hale and hearty. Every giblet in place and not a feather ruffled. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was heavenly. Mama had a turkey dinner, sage dressing, cranberry sauce, candy jams.
Hard sighting?
A little.
Come clean, Effie.
Well, I had two glasses. Everyone was there. Cousin Gertie, Dwight, Mrs. Splash. I was disappointed when you didn't show up, Sam. Did you have Thanksgiving dinner?
Sure.
Sir?
At the Helping Hand Rescue Mission, where there's plenty of free parking and never a cover charge. For further details, consult the report, which I will presently be down to dictate, on a tasty chronicle of foul play. The Terrified Turkey Caper.
For NBC, William Spear, radio's outstanding producer, director of mystery and crime drama, brings you the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Sam, hey!
Oh, you were waiting for me.
Having Thanksgiving dinner at a rescue mission, and Mama cooked a perfectly wonderful...
Thank your mother for me, and tell her I'll be over to break wishbones with her tonight. And to atone for my social indifferences, here's a little something I brought for you.
Oh, Sam! Oh. You shouldn't have. It's beautiful. What is it?
A blunderbuss.
A blunder what?
Bus, as in step to the rear of.
Oh. Well, what does it do?
Shoot, Seth. It's a gun. Our founding fathers used it in foraging for feathered food when they settled this abundant continent.
And it's mine.
To do with what you will.
Where's the dragon?
Pencil boy?
Yes, Sam. Who gave it to
you? Pad open?
Oh, yes, but I don't
need
that.
Knees crossed?
Did you mean the founding father?
Don't peek. Date, November 24th, 1950. To Detective Lieutenant I.C. Kelsey, Homicide Detail, San Francisco Police. From Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Subject, Turkey. Dear Kelsey, this was a big week for the cranberry pickers, the butchers, the sage makers, and the stomach pill people. But for private detectives, it was strictly from hunger. My office door opened only twice a day, once to let me in and once to let me out. And when on Wednesday I heard a knock on the door, I went into a paroxysm of delight. Come in! Come in! Come in! Hunter Boo! Hunter is dead! Arise! When I ran out of languages, I got up from behind the desk, walked to the door, and opened it. Standing there was a small, middle-aged man with a pink, bald head. His blue serge suit needed pressing, and he was nervously fingering a strawberry birthmark under his left ear.
Mr. Samuel Spade?
I am.
May I have a moment with you?
You may have several, but not in the corridor. It's not in my lease.
Oh, I'll come in.
Good, good, good. Well?
You'll have to excuse me, Mr. Spade. I've had so few dealings with private detectives, I find it hard to begin.
Well,
perhaps I shouldn't have come at all. Goodbye.
No, wait a minute. Maybe I can help you.
Well, you see, I what's the use? You won't believe me. Nobody does. I'd really better...
Oh, now, wait. I'll believe you. All I ask is a chance. Now, let's start with your name.
Oh, what, my name?
Yes.
Yes, my name. To begin with, you won't believe that. Oh, but I can verify it. Yes, I can. It's on the registration book of the old Colony Hotel, in the 1943 phone book, and on my old driver's license.
Well, I'll have to know it before I can verify it.
Oh, yes, of course you will. It's Tom.
Well, now that's not so hard to believe.
Oh, you haven't heard the rest of it. It's Tom Turkey. Yeah, you see, I told you you wouldn't believe it. I'd better go.
No, now, let me be the first to believe you. Now, Mr. Tom, what's your problem?
Oh, dear. Dear, that's even harder to explain.
Well, now that I don't believe. But take a breath and jump into it.
Breath, yes, sir. My name is Tom Turkey, and they're going to kill me for Thanksgiving.
Well, I had asked for it, and I had gotten it. And I sat back wondering who had gone to all the trouble to play this funny joke on me. I was looking at my hand to see if there was any itching powder on it where he'd shaken it when my phone rang. I lifted the receiver, swung around in my swivel, and gazed out onto the street. It was Al Kuchel calling, a private eye whose reputation was shadier than a mushroom seller.
Hiya, Spady.
Al.
Haven't seen much of you lately, Spady. You have to get together.
Yeah, well, so long.
Wait, I'll tell you why I called. I've had a pest in my office, keeps coming back. Thinks he's a turkey somebody wants to dress. I brushed him, but your name came up, and I just wanted to warn you. He might be in to see you.
I'm confused, Al. I never knew you to turn your back on a buck.
Oh, I don't want any of this one. His buttons are loose. My advice to you is to bounce it.
Well, we've never traded advice before, Cuchu. Why now?
Well, after all, we're in the same racket. If we can't help each other...
Oh, sure, Al, sure. I appreciate it.
Give me a ring. We've got to get together sometime.
Yeah, when I get a free night, we'll Jimmy parking meter.
Yeah, we... Huh? Oh, yeah. Parking meters. See you later, Spady.
I turned back to the desk, and what I saw in front of me was an empty chair. Tom Turkey had taken wing. I got up and walked to the window, and a minute later, I saw him come out of the building downstairs and start to cross the street. And then I saw something else. A large 4-ton truck was tearing down the street, picking up speed. Instinctively, I shouted a warning, and at the last second, Tom Turkey scrambled from in front of the truck and disappeared into the alleyway. The truck roared up the street, and on its side was printed in gold letters, "Haynes, you drive it." There was nothing to say it wasn't coincidence, this near mishap, but somehow I found myself intrigued and wanting to hear more of the little guy's story. He said the Old Colony Hotel. On the way, I stopped at the library, found an old 1943 phone book, and looked. He was listed. Thomas Turkey, it said. Out of curiosity, I rang the number.
Hello?
I wonder if you can help me. I'm inquiring about a Mr. Turkey.
Turkey? This ain't his number no more.
I know.
I haven't had any calls for him for years.
Yeah, I know.
I knew a woman named Rabbit once. Mrs. Rabbit.
About Turkey. Could you remember what he looked like?
I don't. Hey, Manny, what Turkey look like? Yeah. Small man, around 50. Nice fellow, Manny says.
Strawberry under his left ear?
Strawberry under his left ear, Manny. Yeah. Strawberry under his left ear.
Well, thank you, madam, for your information, and thanks to Manny.
Well, you're welcome, but I don't know what you're going to do with it. Old man Turkey's dead. Been dead for years.
Curiouser and curiouser, I thought. They had described the man who came to my office 20 minutes ago, and now he'd been dead for years. I continued on to the Old Colony Hotel. Room, 75 cents, it said. Tom's room is 114.
Who is it?
Sam Spade.
Oh, come in, Mr. Spade. I'm sorry I ran away. I didn't think you really believed me.
Well, I'm not sure I do yet. Tell me, was that truck an accident?
Oh, I don't think so, no. They made three attempts before to kill me. Somebody tried to push me in front of a train, and then a wheelchair full of cement dropped off a building and just missed me, and then I was shot at.
Well, who were they, and why would they want to kill you?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Look, let's tack.
Tack?
Tack. I dialed your old phone number, and the people who answered said you're dead.
Oh, a lot of people think I'm dead.
Yeah. Look, do you still want me to work for you?
Oh, yes, please.
Well, you'll have to tell me more then. I can't...
I guess I'd better tell you everything. Oh, it's hard to talk about, Mr. Spade. It's not easy to admit to someone you've been a foolish man. You see, I just turned 50. I was quite tired of the life I'd led. Proper, dull, and unfruitful, accepting money. My business was worrying, and so was my wife, Henriette.
This has a traditional ring.
Anyway, to make it short, I decided to run away. One day I drove to work. I parked my car in the middle of the Bay Bridge where the suicide note left it and disappeared.
Where did you go?
Oh, all over the world. I took a job on a boat. I did. On a boat. And then I settled in São Paulo, Brazil, under another name.
Now you're back. Why?
Maybe I got lonely. Maybe I got wiser. Maybe I felt I paid enough for my mistakes. Let's just say I'm back. I want to be with Henrietta.
Have you seen her?
I checked into this hotel and wrote her a letter saying I wasn't dead. I was back in San Francisco, and I wanted to come back to her if she still would have me. But I told her I wouldn't bother her unless she wanted to see me, that she could contact me here. That was a week ago.
And you haven't heard from her?
No, and almost right away these attempts on my life began.
I see. All right, what's her address?
3118 Monroe. Oh, she's taken her maiden name again. Black, Henrietta Black.
Well, come on, let's go.
No, I'm not going to see her until she asks me.
Well, look, you're going to my apartment. Nobody will bother you there.
And you're going to see Henrietta?
That's right.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Spade. You do believe me. I think I'm really ready to face the world again now.
I deposited Tom in my apartment with instructions to open the door for no one but me, and then I proceeded to 3118 Monroe in a high rent district. I was ushered through a comely portico by a Japanese maid who told me to wait in a study heavy with mahogany. In a moment, two people came in. The woman wore a black dress, silver pendants, flat shoes, and a complexion the color of apple meat. She was Miss Henrietta Black and or Mrs. Tom Turkey. The man turned out to be Leander Luce, the lady's attorney, business manager, and canasta partner.
You say you have something important to discuss with me, Mr. Spade?
I do.
I hope you don't mind my asking Mr. Luce to be here.
Not at all.
Well?
Mrs. Turkey, I just talked to your husband, Tom.
Mr. Spade, if you please.
I say something?
A rather feeble attempt at comedy, Mr. Spade.
Well, I wasn't trying for a laugh. You are Mrs. Turkey, aren't you?
I was.
You undoubtedly still are.
I'd expected to hear another one of these cruel jokes about my name.
At Thanksgiving time, Mr. Spade, someone was always going to stuff Tom, baste him, dress him, slice him.
This season, they're going to kill him.
They are not going to kill him. He is already dead.
He's not dead, Mrs. Turkey, and you should know it.
I should?
Yes, he sent you a letter saying he was back in San Francisco and wanted to see you.
Mr. Spade, this has gone absolutely far enough.
Not quite. What about the letter?
I know of no such letter.
I see. Well, thank you for your time. I'm sorry I bothered you.
Oh, you used bad judgment in coming in the first place.
Yes, maybe you're right. There was falsehood in this someplace, Lieutenant, and it stuck out like a fat girl in slack. The only thing to do was to go back to my apartment, get Tom Turkey, and confront Mrs. T with her husband in the flesh. But when I got back to my apartment building, I spotted in rapid succession, one, an ambulance, two, a police car. And upstairs, outside my half-open apartment door, I spotted three. You.
I've been expecting it.
What's going on, Kelsey?
Yeah, serious, Sam, serious.
Who's that bald-headed man moving around the apartment?
That's McCracken, the new medical examiner. Checking a stiff on your rug.
I stepped around you, Lieutenant, and pushed the door all the way open. I saw McCracken kneeling over the body and a couple of men from homicide taking photos. I moved into the room feeling nothing good. A little guy had given me a job, and while I was jacking with his wife, somebody got to him. And in my apartment, where I'd stashed him. McCracken stood up, and I looked down at the body. Then I looked again. Who I saw wasn't Tom Turkey at all. It was the late private eye, Al Kuchel. You are listening to the weekly adventure of radio's most famous detective, Sam Spade. Friday fans of Sam Spade, there's mystery on Saturday evening, too, on NBC. Tomorrow, the man called X sets out on another mission of danger and intrigue in some far-off corner of the earth. Herbert Marshall stars as the man called X, a man without a name who travels the world over protecting his country's interests. He lives by his wits and his business is danger. He's the man called X, tomorrow over most NBC stations. For top Sunday listening, it's another broadcast of The Big Show on NBC. This Sunday, your stars include Fred Allen, Jack Carson, Mindy Carson, Ed Archie Gardner, Ed Wynn, and many, many more. And Tallulah is your MC as usual. This Sunday, it's The Big Show on NBC. And now back to the terrified turkey caper, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade. While the men from Homicide were taking pictures, etc., you and I, Lieutenant, were going round and round on the question, if I didn't kill the man found in my room, who did? And you were sufficiently impressed with my insult, Chelsea, not to hold me for the murder.
We bowed to each other and I left. Thinking back to the truck that had almost run Turkey down, I went to the Haynes U Drive truck rental garage.
Yes, what do you... what do you want?
I'm a detective. Could you give me a list of names for everybody who rented a truck from you during the past few days?
Sure.
He handed me a big registration book, and I read every name for the past week. For the first 5 days, they all seemed to be nice, normal, abnormal names. And then, under the rentals for the day before, was the name of John Smith. John had given his address as 7200 Kearney. And I happen to know that Kearney only goes up to 2000. The dispatcher said that Smith had returned the truck about 3 hours before. And he remembered him as an ugly, heavy-set, and rough-voiced character who looked like an ex-longshoreman. They had already washed the truck, so the fingerprints were all out of stuff.
Mr. Spade again.
Look, I'd like to speak with Mrs. Miss Black, if you don't mind.
Come in. Come in.
Thank you.
This way. Into the den.
Right.
Well, I was sure you'd look into this affair a little more and realize that it was just a blind alley. A hoax of some kind.
Where's Miss Black?
Oh, she's upstairs lying down. The whole affair has upset her, and she asked not to be disturbed. I think the wisest course of action for you, Mr. Spade, is just to let the matter drop.
You can't let a murder just drop, Mr. Lewis. The police wouldn't hear it.
Huh? Murder? Ooh.
An unfrocked private detective named Al Kuchel.
Well, what does this have to do with Henrietta Black?
Al Kuchel called me earlier today and said that Tom Turkey was a crackpot, a little man with delusions. He tried to top me off taking his case.
He sounds like a perceiving man.
Well, he didn't perceive ending up in my apartment with a bullet in his head.
Well, that's too bad, but I still don't
see... Tom Turkey in my apartment for safekeeping, and when I returned, he was gone and Kuchel was dead.
Well, that explains itself, obviously. This detective knew that Tom Turkey was a phony, and Turkey killed him.
It can figure that way, and a number of other ways.
Mr. Fade, I have no desire to sit here trading subtleties with you. As yet, no one has demonstrated that the real Tom Turkey actually exists.
Alive.
Now, until you do have something more concrete and less mythological, Miss Black requests that you do not come around opening up old wounds.
You've made an eloquent point. Just tell me one thing.
If I can.
When did Tom Turkey disappear? I mean, what month, what day?
It was, Oh, yes, 1943, November. But I'm not sure of the exact day. I think it was in the third week.
Could it have been on Thanksgiving?
Very possibly, very possibly.
I returned thoughtfully to my office and did a little rapid mental arithmetic and came up with a number 7. From November 23rd, 1943 to November 23rd, 1950 was 7 years to the day. And I pondered this. What did the number 7 mean to the life or death of Tom Turkey? I had just hit upon the answer and was crying eureka when my office door opened, unknocked, and a visitor came in unannounced. He was ugly, heavy set, and looked like an ex-longshoreman. I waited to see if the voice checked.
You, Spade?
Who shall I say is calling?
Captain John Smith. And here's my calling card.
The first one. The first bullet grazed my shoulder and tore the padding out of my coat. The second bullet hit the water cooler and it crashed over, water and all on top of me. Where the third bullet hit, I wasn't sure at the time because darkness came rushing through my head like a freight train. When I opened my eyes again, I expected to see St. Peter checking my ID card. But all I saw were the dust balls under my desk. And a fly bathing itself in a pool of water, spreading slowly over the floor. There was blood on my hand, but it came from a glass cut. I was in shambles, but alive. Captain John Smith had shoved off, obviously thinking his bullets had done their work.
Homicide, Lieutenant Kelsey.
Sam Kelsey, have you found anything more about Tom Turkey?
Nothing, Sam. Frankly, I'm beginning to wonder if there is such a guy.
Well, clever Kelsey, a few minutes ago, a gorilla by the name, believe it or not, of Captain John Smith just tried to kill me in my office.
Oh, go on, Sam. I find it hard to think.
You find it hard to think, period.
Really, Sam? Did you get him?
No, but my office is a wreck, and there's a hole blasted in my wall big enough to put a basketball in.
Well, what did he use, a bazooka?
I figured dum-dum bullets.
Dum-dum? Well, that's illegal, ain't it?
Kelsey... doesn't it strike you as significant that every attempt on Turkey's life has been vicious, as if someone not only wanted to kill him, but also mutilate him?
Yeah, now that you mention it. Somebody probably wanted to make identification difficult.
Even dead, they didn't want anybody to know who he was. Now, listen carefully, Kelsey. This is real deep. Tom Turkey disappeared on Thanksgiving of 1943. A person has to be missing 7 years before he can be legally dead and his insurance collected. Now, if someone had Turkey insured, they could collect the day after this Thanksgiving, if Turkey didn't show up before.
You mean somebody's trying to kill him for the insurance?
I would say so, Kelsey. I would say so. Now, hurry up and find him. When I put down the phone, I heard a heavy pounding. For a minute, I thought it was in my head, until I turned to face the door, and standing there was a small pilgrim with bandy legs in black stockings, pantaloons, white-collared coat, and stovepipe hat.
Hallelujah!
He wore silver buckles, and what he was pounding on the floor was an 18th-century blunderbuss.
Hallelujah! Have I got the right place?
Oh, offhand, I'd say so. If you're looking for Captain John Smith, he just left. Pocahontas is expected any minute.
Now, don't you go trying to confuse me. I'm too thirsty.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm looking for a fellow named Dan, I'm so thirsty, I forgot.
Sam Spade?
That's it. Oh, you broke your water bottle, huh?
Yeah.
Good. That stuff's poison anyway. Hallelujah. Hey, say, do you happen to have any hard cider around?
Fresh out.
Oh. I'm kind of thirsty, you know. Any type of corn squeezing?
Here, try this, Dad.
Well.
Good, huh? You like that, huh? Oh.
Hey, follow me. But before we go, do you suppose we could have a little something for the road? It's bitter cold.
I gave him a little, but not too much, because I didn't want him to lose his way. He walked me right down Market Street so he could look in the liquor store windows. He said it gave him a comfortable feeling to know there was so much good in the world. And then we turned right a few blocks until we came to the Helping Hand Mission. Across its gray front, a banner promised special holiday food and comfort to the unfortunate. And on the street in front of it, there was a brass band sending out signals to the fraternity that any minute the great feast of Thanksgiving would begin. The band members and other volunteer workers were all dressed as pilgrims, but quaint conceit. My pilgrim led me to a dark corner of the club room, and sitting there unhappily was none other than Tom Turkey.
Hello, Mr. Spade.
Hello, Tom. What happened to my apartment? Why did you run away?
Well, I was afraid. You told me not to answer the door until you came back. Well, somebody knocked on the door and said it was you, so I opened it, and two men came in.
Tell me, was one of the male Cucho?
Yes, the detective. The other man was a big, ugly-looking fellow, and when they saw I was alone, they started arguing.
About what?
Well, the detective said that now that he brought the ugly man there, he wanted his money.
Yeah.
The ugly man pulled a gun, and they started the fight. Oh, dear, I slipped out the door, and when I was halfway downstairs, I heard a shot and kept on running.
Well, Al Cucho is dead.
Oh, my. I thought so. This was the only place I could think of to hide. Oh, when Henrietta finds out I've been mixed up in a murder, she'll never take me back.
Henrietta. Hey, tell me, did your wife ever have any insurance on you?
Oh, before I ran away, she did. A $50,000 policy, but, oh, that would have lapsed by now.
Maybe. Did it have a suicide clause in it?
A suicide?
Yes.
No. No, it didn't. I remember.
Yeah, you'd like to talk to Henrietta, wouldn't you? All right, here's your phone number. Call her up and tell her where you are.
Oh, dear, I don't think I could. I'm too frightened.
You've got to do something to help yourself. If you don't, by midnight, you might be a cold turkey.
Oh.
I'm sorry, it just slipped out.
All right, I'll do it.
Well, he went and made the call. When he returned, he said that a man had answered who said Henrietta would come down and pick Tom up. He didn't want to wait, but I sat on him. The pilgrim brought us a dish of turkey dinner, saying he couldn't stand food himself, and we munched a spell. In a little while, a limousine pulled up in front of the mission with someone in back whom I couldn't see. A chauffeur stepped out and came in inquiring for Tom Turkey. It was Captain John Smith himself. When he saw me, a look of shocked surprise came over his unhandsome face. Hoping to catch him off balance, I drove at him. It was the liveliest thing that has happened at the Helping Hand Mission in years, and we had a good house, too. Money was even changing hands. When I heard the odds starting to go against me, I realized I'd better come up with something.
Here, use this, partner.
And I did. The bandy-legged pilgrim shoved his blunderbuss right in my hand. And I swung. Smith dropped like pheasant on the wing. I looked up. The passenger from the limousine was just coming in.
Yeah, what's the meaning of this?
It means, Leander Luce, that you're not going to carve Tom Turkey up for your Thanksgiving insurance policy.
Hallelujah! Drum check, anyone?
Period. End of report.
Sam, I don't understand.
Well, it's as plain as the cranberry stain on your dress, sir. Luce, as Henrietta's business manager, had her power of attorney. And secretly, he kept making the payments on Tom Turkey's insurance policy.
Oh, and then he'd collect for Henrietta and keep the money himself.
Effie, sometimes your lightning mind frightens me. Now, go type that up. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. There's fun and laughs with the chimes later tonight when Ed Gardner stars in Duffy's Tavern. As usual, Duffy won't be there, but Archie the manager will definitely be on hand to serve his blue plate special of grilled English language. This Sunday, the big show comes your way again. Tallulah will be your hostess, and the stars include Fred Allen, Jack Carson, Ed Wynn, Meredith Wilson, and many, many more. It's the big show, Sunday, on NBC.
Killed Al Crusoe and tried to kill you. Was his name really Captain John Smith?
Now, Effie, could we have a Thanksgiving caper without a Captain John Smith? It wouldn't be right.
It was a coincidence, wasn't it?
Well, if you promise not to tell anyone.
Oh.
His real name was Michael Giuseppe Yablonsky Smith. I called him John for short.
You're so kind.
Mm-hmm. Are we going over to your mother's for cold turkey snacks?
Well, all right, but I don't think there'll be much left.
Oh?
You see, my cousin Judy couldn't find a little boy. On Mother's phone and said they just found him.
Mm-hmm.
He was inside the turkey, eating his way out.
Effie, is there no way to curb that tongue of yours?
There's one way.
Well, come here.
Oh. Oh. Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart. Adventures of Sam Spade are produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade was played by Stephen Dunn. Lorene Tuttle is Effie. Script for tonight's adventure by Larry Roman and John Michael Hayes. Musical scoring by Lud Bluskin, conducted by Robert Armbrister. Again next week, same time, for another adventure with Sam Spade. Hear the Magnificent Montague, then visit Duffy's Tavern on NBC.
Thank you so much for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. We appreciate your tuning in each week and hope you can join us again next week, when we have a heartwarming and comedic Thanksgiving planned for all our listeners. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.